just go home right now, or maybe we could stick around for just one more drink. Oh yeah, get another bottle out, let's shoot the breeze, sit back down.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show on this Tuesday, November 14th. This is not Maggie Dawn. I hate to disappoint, but we are still in the Oops All Anya week that we are recording. You heard me live yesterday. You'll hear me live again tomorrow. But today, in this moment, I'm speaking to you from the past, like some sort of incredible time traveler. In fact, rather just a technology traveler. All of this aside, hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is a pre-recorded show because as you're hearing me, I am traveling to Washington, D.C. to cover the March for Israel on the national lawn today. We're going to get into why I'm there. We're going to get into why I didn't talk about planning this trip on air ahead of time. We're going to get into all of those facts. But first, I want to introduce that for the first time in my solo hosting career on the Maggie Dawn Show, I am not alone. I am visited by not a stranger, but a friend, a dear friend of mine, which is how I've referred to her on air before, someone with an incredible amount of knowledge and intelligence, gumption and class, something all put together in one person, and I am so thankful that she is here to talk with me about her experiences and why she is also traveling with me to Washington, D.C. Welcome.
Hi, friend.
Hi, friend. Welcome to live radio.
Ooh, my first time.
It's a strange place.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jess.
Welcome, Jess.
And that's the only name I'm going to give you for
yes.
now.
Yes. I chose to not open by saying your name, despite the fact that I know you and your full name. Mm. But would you perhaps explain for listeners why, despite coming onto the radio today, you are going by just Jess, as opposed to, as I go by on radio, this is, of course, Anya Esther, the producer of the Maggie Dawn Show. Jess?
Yeah. Honestly, right now, it's concern for my not only physical safety, mm-hmm. unfortunately, it's a fear for my privacy. I'm not in the most public-facing job, mm-hmm. and I'm not prepared to really be having that sort of presence right now. It's not something that I'm seeking, and I think it's something that could be detrimental to what I'm doing right now for work, which is I'm an educator.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to have you come on today because we've been friends for a long time. We went to college together. I was getting a film degree. We were managing to find ways that between our two professions and interests, things that we shared a love for, like
learning
in
general,
mm-hmm.
Judaism,
yes,
teaching,
yes.
You got me into that, though.
I did. One of the things I've talked about on air is that for the years before I went into radio, in fact, just a couple months ago, I exited education, teaching in Jewish education. And it was when COVID was really just at its height, and we had lost a number of older instructors who did not want to teach from a laptop, who wanted to get back in the classroom, and we were just not getting back in the classroom because it was
COVID.
Like COVID.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you're young and know how laptops work and love teaching.
I've seen you on Zoom.
I've seen you on Zoom, so I know that you can do what I'm doing. Do you want to come enter the insane fray that is Jewish education right now?
And I looked at you and I said, sure.
Sure. And the rest is a strange history.
Now we're 3 1/4 years through.
Yes.
And
a world pandemic.
Right.
A number of worldwide, nationwide, statewide, and personal changes.
Yeah.
That one cannot begin to number in such a short period of time.
Truly. And then a war.
And now a war.
Yeah.
For the past month. Does it feel like a month to you?
I'm not sure if it's been 2 days or 2 years.
Yep.
It's a month doesn't seem right.
It couldn't possibly have been a month, right?
No.
Because is it okay if we talk about how you first learned that things were occurring in Israel?
Yeah. I found out at 10:32 a.m. on October 7th. I was at my synagogue, the synagogue that has, you know, been so central to my personal growth in Judaism and where we've shared some experiences. Mm-hmm. And I was there for a very joyous occasion, the holiday of Simchat Torah, a holiday that literally means the joy of our Torah, celebration of our Torah, our core Jewish literature, our core Jewish values. And the rabbi was not supposed to be leading services that day. This was a special occasion. Someone else, a young member of our community, was meant to be leading services. And the rabbi took the bima, the front portion of the synagogue from which the person speaks.
This would be similar to a pulpit in a church.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And
no, I just
for translating.
I try to translate where I can for folks. I know what it's like to live in northern Wisconsin.
So rabbi steps up and they start speaking and saying that they understand that so many of us woke up today to the news that Hamas terrorists had broken into Israel and slaughtered at least 100 people. Mm-hmm. And Netanyahu has declared that Israel is at war. Mm-hmm. And that our congregation was choosing to, in light of this, celebrate our holiday of Simchat Torah with extra spirit, extra ruach, extra love and hope for the future, hope for peace, prayers for peace. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of synagogues in our community and throughout the world who responded in that way. And some responded by instead holding incredibly somber Simchat Torah. I remember being glad that our rabbi had chosen to take this route, that we were going to look at this and we were going to say yes. And joy comes first.
Yep.
And we will still celebrate our Torah, our community, and we will hold each other extra close today. And after the service, there was a luncheon. And I checked the news between the service and the luncheon. And the number that was reported to be dead was now over 250. And then the day kept going. And the number has reached 600. Numbers reach 700, 800. And then you and I went to a festival.
Was that that same day?
That was that day.
Right. Okay. It's been a month.
It's been a month.
We did. My gosh. Right. So we had plans.
We had plans to go to this regional festival.
Yes. We had a friend who was performing. Yeah. We wanted to support. You're right. That was that same day.
And
okay.
So
yes.
I'm preparing and I had gone home to prepare. And when you got to the door, I looked at you and I said, thank God you're here.
That's right. That was that day.
Because I needed to be broken away from the news.
Right.
And I don't think you had fully, like, I think you had heard, but like, can you talk about your experiences?
Yeah. So when I worked in education with you, right, we would work on Sundays. Now that I'm in radio, I work on Saturdays, but you work on Sundays. So I got up very early Saturday, October 7th. I think maybe I had even been up late enough that I knew things were occurring in Israel when I went to sleep here in Central Time in Wisconsin.
But you're right. I went on to cover the rest of the day for Civic with our Saturday morning programming. And it wasn't until Sunday when you were teaching and now I had a day off. It was the day after that festival that I was really starting to actually understand how bad everything had been. Right. So we were on these two trains leaving two different stations on the same day trying to figure out. Right. God, what a terrible time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had a conversation that Saturday night where I just looked at you and went, tomorrow I have to teach children about war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the advice you gave me was, don't look at the news tonight.
Yeah.
Just go to bed, get some sleep. Otherwise, you might not.
Yep. I think I gave that advice at that time because, like you said, you know, when you were sitting there at 10:32, the number was the number that had reached the news that was reaching Wisconsin was 100, right? Mm-hmm. And things were unraveling at a pace that, and not even journalists were keeping up with, if mm-hmm. we're being fair. So going into Saturday night, knowing that you had to get up early Sunday and teach.
About a terrible terrorist attack that yes. had killed over, at that point, I knew 250.
250, right. My thought, I think, was, well, there's nothing that you can study from the news that's mm-hmm. going to come out in the next 12 hours that can prepare you more than what I think we knew you were going to have to say, which was not give them a casualty report, but again, as you phrased it, teach them about war. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that. What is it like to be teaching kids right now? What is it like to be teaching Jewish kids right now?
Yeah, I mean, that world. What? Do we have 5 hours, six?
Sure, I mean, we can. You get like 30 minutes on air. But you and me have forever.
Well, that's true.
But however you need to phrase it, you take whatever time you need.
Thanks. Every session with them has been really different. Mm-hmm. Since I've taught with all my various classes and everything since the war began, I've taught, I think, around 20 sessions. And in each one, there's been a different need. And so there's been different ways that we address what's going on in Israel and in Gaza and around the world. I work with early adolescent, early mid-adolescent, and that first day, I just sat down and I said, what do you know?
Yeah.
What have you heard? Let's start there.
We'll be back with more of this special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show after this. Here's to us. Here's to love. All the times that we messed up. Here's to you.
Too many things I've left behind. Not enough things left in my mind. Too many.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. What you're hearing today is a pre-recorded interview between myself, Anya Esther, the producer of the Maggie Dawn Show, and my dear friend Jess. The reason we did this interview pre-recorded, as opposed to being live with you so we could take your calls and respond to your questions, is because at this very moment, Jess and I are traveling to or traveling back from the march in Washington, D.C., the March for Israel. The following snippet of our conversation is widely redacted because what we discussed is the ongoing experiences of students that we've both worked with in the Jewish education sector, as well as Jess's approach to teaching them. I didn't censor this part because of anything regarding privacy or anything regarding, you know, personal information about kids. We were both professionals in this conversation, but rather there was so much Jewish history to summarize in order for these very specific comments and very specific examples to make sense, I think, on air, that what I've opted to do is post a fuller version with kind of more of the lecture style that Jess and I fell into. If you are interested in learning more about, as we're going to discuss in this next bit, anti-Semitic dog whistles that we've had to teach, or rather she has had to teach her students to be aware of and to, you know what they mean. If you're also interested in hearing these conversations, please visit us online at civicmedia.us, or you can find the full version of this podcast later this week. It'll be up on Spotify, Apple, as well as our website. So with that, please enjoy the rest of my conversation with my dear friend Jess.
Israelis had been killed, and we knew that some number had been taken captive.
Right.
We knew that Netanyahu had declared war, but that the Knesset, the parliament of Israel, had not yet. There was announcing we're gonna declare war, but yeah, there wasn't yet formal declaration of war.
In the same way that with all world politics, you just have a man saying things and a world suffering and a group that is, you know, essentially like Congress, the Senate for the U.S., the Knesset, trying to walk through the actual steps of what does war mean in a legal sense?
In a legal sense, because war is a legal term.
Right,
and a proceeding. And that's something that we're learning so much right now with accusations of war crimes.
And taking that, that is the reaction of adults who are in elected positions.
Yes.
How do we, or how do you, a couple of 20-somethings, take all of that?
Try to explain that to a 13-year-old?
A child.
A child.
A child by all standards.
Yeah.
Including the children who are observing things like their bar or bat mitzvah or their b'nai mitzvah, things that are supposed to be joyous, and also a handing of responsibility.
Yeah.
In a time where I feel, and you can probably elaborate better on this, that all Jewish children are being handed the responsibility of answering for the totality of what's happening. And it's not just Jewish kids, of course, But in the context of what you and I work in and what you and I have observed as to how kids are speaking to other kids about the war.
I just want to respect my kids' privacies. So I'm going to keep this general, but I will say that almost all of my students have reported to me since the war started that they have been treated differently. Some of them have had like directly identifiable, that is harassment. A couple of my kids have been hiled since October 7th, and that's just something that's really...
And to speak clearly,
you're
saying that your Jewish students, when they are in public school, other students are making the flat-handed upper arm salute known as a Heil Hitler.
Correct.
They're being heiled at.
Correct.
Right, okay.
I've had multiple students tell me that, including one today, which is...
Today.
Yep.
So this is October 12th, for context. This is playing on... November. It's been a month.
It's been a month.
Yes. So today being as recent as November 12th, we are having this discussion and you, Wisconsin, are hearing it on November 14th. As Jess and I are traveling to D.C. to attend the March for Israel, we're going to pause here for a second as we move from sort of this intro, this mass introduction. When we come back, Jess and I are going to continue to discuss why we are going to D.C., and why, when Jess was given the opportunity, she called me before, I guess, anybody else. That doesn't make sense, Jess. Unless. We'll be back with more of this special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show after this. Is not Maggie Dawn, but rather I am coming to you from the past in this rare pre-recorded episode with my guest,
Jess.
As you're hearing this, Jess and I are actually embarking on a journey from Wisconsin to Washington, D.C. To cover the March for Israel that is occurring in D.C. So we are having this recorded conversation ahead of that to give some context, to describe some concerns, and maybe give some listeners out there an idea of why two 20-somethings from Wisconsin who really had absolutely no plans to travel anywhere for
the foreseeable future.
Really, we had nothing big like that planned.
No.
And now it's like, let's just pop to the East Coast real quick. To talk about how this opportunity came into Jess's hands, I have to talk about how this opportunity came into my hands, which is, Jess, you gave me a call late last Tuesday. I do Holocaust lectures from time to time. You know this, Jess.
Yes, I did know this.
Yes. But for our listeners, I occasionally will borrow my time to universities because I have a degree in Jewish studies as well. I did a year-long fellowship in Holocaust studies. I've been to many of the sites that these things occurred at, and to, you know, give universities who otherwise wouldn't cover the Holocaust in depth an opportunity to have someone come in and do that, I make myself available for that reason. And that Tuesday, I had, one, a medical appointment. Two, I gave 2-hour-long Holocaust lectures at a local university. And then 3, I had a bit of a breakdown. I was just, you know, the war, right, and teaching about the Holocaust.
It's hard.
And being tired.
Yeah, so tired.
You don't know this, but right before you texted me, are you free? Can you call? My partner had just driven me back to my apartment for getting food with me because I was having a breakdown. And he said, hey, tonight, you know, you did all you could today for the things you care about. Go upstairs, eat this food we got, and rest. And think not of the things that trouble your aching mind, fair maiden. And I walked up the stairs to my apartment. And
what's
I opened
this? Bring, a message?
Bring my
from Jess?
My best friend. Hello, Jess. We gotta go. What? So I was told that I was supposed to go upstairs and not think about anything. When Jess calls. Now, Jess, walk me through what your day looked like leading up to calling me, actually.
So in the late morning that day, mm-hmm, I had been in a professional development session on how do you teach right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you approach yourself? How do you approach your classroom? How do you approach not knowing what the next headline is going to be?
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically aimed at educating Jewish educators,
mm-hmm,
on just giving us some guidance right now on what to do in this particular pivotal moment of history.
Because, of course, and maybe this isn't clear for all folks, but not all of Jewish education pertains to Israel. A lot of what you and I taught, while Israel is important religiously, you know, it doesn't mean that every Jewish educator is an expert on the past 80-some years of this place existing, nor the long, long history of everything else. So,
right. That's actually what this professional development was.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten an invite to, like, hey, are you a Jewish educator who's suddenly facing a pressing need, mm-hmm, to teach about Israel, Israel's history, and everything that's going on right now? Sign up for this boot camp,
yeah.
So I've never clicked sign up for a class faster.
Yeah.
But that's what, I was in the first session of it that day,
mm-hmm,
and people were asking, we've got a session scheduled for 2 Tuesdays from today.
Mm-hmm.
Next Tuesday? Goodness gracious, what is time?
That you were in this session.
1 week.
No, 1 week.
This was one week.
This was this Tuesday?
This was this Tuesday.
What is time, actually? More on that at 10. Just a week ago.
Less than a week ago.
5 days ago.
5 days
from the moment we are having this conversation.
Yeah.
And a week previous to when listeners are hearing it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Gracious. All right. Go ahead.
So people were saying, there's this march on Tuesday.
Right.
What are we doing? And the organizers of this professional development were like, yes, of course, we're going to be at that march.
And you're like,
and we're going to reschedule. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard about it, but there's no way I'm not getting to DC. It's not happening. It's not a possibility for me.
We are both based in Wisconsin.
We are based in Wisconsin.
Yes.
We're 20-somethings.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We did not have those resources.
Our hearts were going to be there in the same way that, like, my heart was with the huge Women's March in DC when it happened.
But there was no way to physically get there. Day goes past. Mm-hmm. It was a great professional development. I was feeling reasonably empowered. I did some lesson planning. And then about 8 p.m., I get an email. This is an opportunity for people who otherwise would not have the resources to get to this march.
Yes.
Being organized by our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it, and I went, whoop, and I called you.
You called me. So this is where these two stories collide. Me with my bundle of food and my broken brain. And you with an opportunity.
It's an opportunity.
Yes. So you called, and you, why, other than being friends, other than, you know, wanting to get me involved and be able to do this, why did you call me Because you did not sign up and call me, right?
Right.
You called me first.
Right.
Why? I'm not your travel agent. Why did you do this?
You are my travel agent.
I am a little bit your travel agent, but...
But because, you know, not only is it just, was it just scary to be like, this is going far from home yes. on an impromptu trip,
mm-hmm.
and I would be alone, and I yeah. didn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
It was... I have serious concerns about safety, and I need to talk this through with my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And what were your serious safety concerns? What was going through your mind when you saw that you had this opportunity? What was holding you back from saying yes?
Legitimate fear for my bodily safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because 4 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
when this was, there was the bloodiest day for Jews since the Holocaust.
Right.
That every time we've said, never again, Jews will never be targeted and murdered for being Jews, never again. Was happening again.
Mm-hmm.
And if that could happen in Israel,
mm-hmm.
where legitimately they have an incredibly proficient military and mm-hmm. intelligence services, if it could happen there, it could certainly happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the Capitol can be breached.
Yeah, yeah, don't we? Yeah.
We do. We do know this now.
We also called on January 6th.
Right.
You and I.
We did.
And discussed watching what we both kind of thought at that time was potentially the potentially successful overthrow of a government.
Right.
And now, again, talking about Israel, we were watching, and again, now a successful attack that killed, now the number is
1,400.
Right. And additionally, still over 200 individuals being held in Gaza, including children who,
as young as 9 months.
Yep. And whose parents are dead. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, and to get back to what we were talking about in the previous section is you teach, and yep. this is what you are having to find a way to teach two young Jews the same age as some of these hostages,
mm-hmm.
talking about fear of bodily safety, you know. So we had this call. We determined essentially, well, if you go, I'll go.
Right.
And then at least we will have one other person who is our person.
Right.
And if...
Tie ourselves together.
Yes. And if stuff hits the fan... I have you and you
I
have
got
me.
You, girl.
That's it. And that's because going alone, I mean, going with other members of the community is, of course, great.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to have your girl.
Yeah.
So we made the decision we were going to go.
Yeah.
But talk to me about how in whatever way you want to, the subject matter today that you have had to start covering with your students and how it relates to attempting to cover the huge topic that is war and hostages and kids their age being held somewhere and hurt
mm-hmm.
or killed. What are you doing with them in class now to help them be ready to kind of defend themselves from these things?
Today I had taught a formal lesson on anti-Semitism because they need to know what words people will use to try to demean them, to try to hurt them, to discriminate against them, to show hatred for them. Because the words won't always be obvious. People won't always tell them, I don't like you because you're ugly.
Right.
Some people are going to look at them and say, I don't like you because you're a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say it explicitly to their faces.
Right.
And that, you know, we can handle that a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
We can
mm-hmm.
say, okay, go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when the admission is that stark.
Right. It's easy.
Doing things like, you know, now you have a discrimination suit. Now you have a student who needs to be reprimanded by a school for discrimination. When the words are, I hate you because you're a Jew, in a way, that's easier to deal with.
That's a relief.
Yes, because the admission is there. There is no more, well, they didn't mean. You're now having to speak with them about things we often refer to as dog whistles.
I had to teach them that word, that term today.
And why do we call these terms dog whistles in the first place?
Well, a dog whistle, it's a whistle that if a human blows it, other humans can't hear it.
Right.
It's at a frequency that dogs can hear, but humans can't.
Right.
So the dog will come running back to you. But the other humans around you won't be bothered.
Right. Essentially, if you're training a dog and you need to have a loud whistle, if you had a loud whistle humans can hear, it's going to be obnoxious. Hey, hey, you're annoying your dog and me. Stop blowing your loud whistle. But of course, we don't want to annoy the other humans. Only the dogs.
Right.
The animals that we're attempting to insult should be insulted and annoyed.
And other people who know. We want to call
out to them. Who know. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's what a dog whistle is.
Yes.
It's using these seemingly innocent words and terms.
Yeah.
In order to pass along hatred.
Right.
Whether that's support of hatred or whether it's directing it to your intended target.
Right. And to create a fear where you know what they're saying.
They know what they're saying.
But the people around you who could support and help you,
they don't know. They just look at you like,
you're crazy.
You're crazy.
He didn't say
he didn't say he wants to kill you.
No, he didn't say Heil Hitler. He just wrote the number 88. Okay, well, you have to understand that 88, H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. Heil Hitler, 88. And you sound like a nut when you have to.
You sound like you're wearing, like you should be wearing a tinfoil hat.
Right, right. And you're not the one wearing the tinfoil hat. You're the one that's actually right. And you have to now try to teach this to kids who, how are you teaching this and how are they taking this?
We started with six of the big ones.
We'll be back with more of this special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show after this.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Anya Esther. I am the producer of the Maggie Dawn Show, here with my guest,
Jess,
to talk about the march in Washington, D.C. Now, we're recording this on Sunday. You're hearing it on Tuesday. As you're hearing it, Jess and I are either on the National Lawn by this time of day, or maybe we're on our way back. We're on our way back. So maybe we're listening to ourselves live in the air. I don't know.
In the airport.
Yeah, just a couple of narcissists. Yeah, we're sitting there kicking our feet, listening to ourselves live on the radio. You know, that's the normal way to do it. So it's a little strange to know that this is airing when it's done, but we just don't have the luxury of discussing it in the immediacy after, because we're going to be traveling.
Yeah.
So, Jess, what we talked about this a bit in the sense of why you called me before signing up. But now that we have signed up and we're sort of in the roller coaster car going up the hill and we can't see the top, nor can we see the drop. So in this, sitting next to me in this roller coaster chair, what are your concerns? What are your hopes? And what lies between them at this point?
All right. Well, let's start with concerns.
Yes.
I mean, we've already addressed some of the physical safety issues. There's a part of me that is concerned about the, I don't know what's going to happen.
That's it.
I don't know if they're going to clear the mall so that Jewish March can come through and counter protesters are off to the side, or protesters to the march are off to the side. I feel very certain that there will be protesters or counter protesters as they may try to
counter protester.
I don't know.
And who are those groups? And I'm not asking that in let's list them here, but the unsureness,
right,
of will these be people who are against the march? Mm-hmm. Are they people who are against the march being for Israel?
Right.
Are they people who are against Israel? Are they people who are against Jews?
Right.
And these are different, and there are intersections, and there are a wide number of individuals, mm-hmm, and groups who could choose to show up that day, mm-hmm, and choose to engage in many different ways, including but not limited to direct violence.
Right.
And I am afraid of being of there being direct violence towards us.
Absolutely.
To say it just bluntly, right? Yeah. And it really sucks to be the people you and I are right now, young people, educators, people who believe in progress and good things and the world to come and a world, mm-hmm, that is better for everyone.
To and people who are educated on this.
Yeah, and people who are educated on this. It's a bad time to definitely be that. Yeah.
It's a frustrating
thing. A frustrating thing. But here we are attempting to have a million discussions with one mouth.
Right.
So let's talk about the hopes, maybe, for this march.
I hope, mm-hmm, that you and I can bring our whole authentic selves to this,
mm-hmm,
and be two of many voices demonstrating the rich tapestry that is American Jewry and that is worldwide Jewry. Because there have been so many attempts to try to make a monolith,
yeah,
out of the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who spent any time with Jews will tell you immediately
yeah,
that can't be true, because you can't get one Jew to agree on anything with themselves.
It is wild that you guys think this is the group running the media and banks and things. How would that have happened? How could this be? Have you met us? Yes. I share these hopes. I hope it is safe.
Yeah.
I hope it is,
yeah, man,
good. I hope it is uplifting.
Yeah, I hope that this is, I hope that we are able to connect and tap into this community.
Yeah.
Because right now there has been such a calling out of Jews to the world to say, do you see us?
Yeah.
Do you hear us?
Yeah.
And even if we can't get an affirmative from outside,
yeah,
we can get it from each other. We can say, I hear you. I see you.
Yeah. And I think a big thing was saying, you and I have to go for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I still refer to them, even though I don't work in education anymore, as our kids.
Yeah.
But to mean our kids, both you and I, like our kids who, yeah, we worked
who we
with.
Train, who, yeah, we train. who we taught together.
Yeah. But also just our kids in all young people.
Yeah.
All people younger than us. Which, what ones there are.
Well,
and
right, taking and that moment that there is this thrusting of responsibility.
Yes, yeah.
That as much as it's going to our kids, it's coming to us too.
Yes.
It's like, okay, you're the real adults now.
Yeah.
Time to turn around and start teaching it.
Yep. Yeah. To not actually let as much of it fall into their hands. Because, yeah, the version of this where none of it falls into their hands now, where we don't have these conversations, where we don't go to DC, where we say, mm-hmm, someone else has to sort this out, you know, okay, so they are involved in it in this moment, if, mm-hmm, we do that, maybe. I mean, they're still getting it in school, but that means the full brunt of it goes on to them in a, yeah, couple years when it gets worse, mm-hmm, when it continues to escalate, when we continue to not have the conversations that our parents and grandparents needed to have.
Mm-hmm.
We just sign them up for the same stuff. And I'm not about that. I'll, right, take it. You know, we'll take it.
I told my kids today, I hope that your kids don't have to learn this as young as you do.
Yeah. I don't want them.
They can wait a couple more years.
Yeah.
That it's not fair that you're 12 and you need to learn that there are a lot of people who want to hurt you because of who you are.
Yeah.
And not because you're a bad person.
No.
But because they think you might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's an episode.
That's an episode.
Thank you for joining us today, Jess.
Thanks for having me on.
Yes. And I look forward to having you back. I look forward to talking about whatever it is that is occurring right now as this is happening, as this episode is going out live. But if you'd like to send messages to our text line showing support for Jess, her students, students around the world, and, you know, I'll pass those messages along. How's that sound? We'll be back tomorrow. My name's been Anya Esther.
I'm Jess.
And this has been the Maggie Dawn Show.
Woo!
Bye!